hosted by Jonathan Hayes and Brandon Bonner, a New Radical podcast, discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation Q&As concerning a wide variety of topics, help you grow as a disciple of the local church through leadership, discipleship, and mission. What is going on?
Man, you know, I've got to see you twice this week.
I know.
That's a good week for me. That is a good week for me. Oh, you're welcome. Hey, we got a good podcast for you today, and I'm going to start with this question. And I'm sure if you're in the ministry world, then you know where I'm going to be going already. But recently, it was several months back, actually, they had the first church service that was all artificial intelligence. The pastor was artificial intelligence, if we can say pastor. I'm going to say pastor just for, you know, for illustration and everything. And about 300 people attended. And I'd like to just start with that idea. First of all, what do you think about that, Dr. Hayashi?
Oh, my goodness. So actually, this is a reality. I mean, I was literally thinking about when I was a worship pastor that in Japan, there was this character called Hatsune Miku, and she was not just an animated character, but her digital voice was animated, and people would show up with a 3D hologram of this Hatsune Miku dancing and singing, but not a real person, computer-generated AI. And then people, or hundreds, maybe thousands of people, are in this concert hall watching, observing. And I was thinking, like, I wonder, when would that happen to the church? And here it is, 2024.
So you're saying, how do you say the name of this character?
Hatsune Miku.
Hatsune Miku. Mm-hmm. I feel really good that I did that.
There you go.
For Hatsune Miku, so you're saying that people go to these concerts and they relate to her as a real entity.
I mean, people buy tickets on this and they go, and I'm just thinking, like, oh, I wonder when, you know, pastors or worship leaders or nobody's needed because it's like Terminator, you know, end time is coming, and they would just take over all the service.
So will there be a time where there'll be a virtual church and people will feel so connected even to the artificial intelligence that they would be able to say, that's my pastor?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I don't know. It's wild. I mean, like, yellow. I mean, this is the reality of the world that we live in. And for me, it's odd because we live in a generation. I mean, we're millennials, and there's Gen Zs, and there's Generation Alpha, my children's generation, mm-hmm. rising up and living in a technology world that is filled with information. And there's some good to it, but at the same time, I think there are some seasoned members, maybe the boomers or Gen X, who say, oh, technology is of the devil. Mm. So I think the church is in an interesting time to think through biblically, theologically, scripturally, you know, what to do with technology, AIs.
Okay, well, let's go there then. We're going to be talking about on the podcast today, how do we leverage technology? Maybe some red flags and things to be looking for, and just have an open conversation. And we're a couple of guys who, you know, you and I come from the worship background. We've used technology, right? I use in-ears on Sunday mornings. I use different things that are very, you know, that would be very confusing to a first century church, you know? And then some of you listeners, you're listening, and maybe you have different lighting techniques and things that you employ. You know, my brother serves at a church, and he was serving as kind of like he was in charge of the tech side of things. Mm. And it just caught me off guard because I went and I watched him, and I sat in the booth, and he was saying, you know, this camera and then this camera, this. And that was like his ministry. And that's how that was like a gift that he was using, and felt like he was worshiping through all of that. And yeah, so it's just really interesting, but maybe we can start with the beginning. It's always good to go there.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, we're going back to, I was thinking 1800s when Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preacher, when he had the pastor's college, he would actually measure people's chest and see how much of a booming voice they have. Because if you don't have a good voice enough, then you were not called to ministry. And I mean, thanks be to God, we got these microphones just like we're meeting in this podcast right now, and that we're able to magnify those voices so that they could be heard. I mean, I can't imagine just like Charles Spurgeon preaching in the Crystal Palace on the day of morning, 19,000 people, but people felt like they could hear. And I think it was needed. Thankfully, we don't need that as much because the technological advancement and cameras and angles and reaching people. I think just recently, one of our podcasts got reached to people and they mm-hmm. contacted and gave us a call because of the ministry, if you were digital ministry. So there's some positive, definitely, as we even look back in history and we where we are at right now.
Yeah, so let's think about the positive, because I know the first thing you want me to do is dive into the negative, but there's a lot of good things that come mm-hmm. with technology. Let's talk about some of those, first of all. How about church staff trainings? I think training has been revolutionized by what's available to us online. You know, we've got, for our church, we use Right Now Media and some other things, but there are trainings on there that I don't have to, as a pastor, go create. And there are trainings on topics that I don't quite even know. Or we can bring people in or do digital trainings on, say, like being a safe place, a safe building, things I would never think of. So I think that there are there's just libraries of information that are, it's awesome that we have at our fingertips. That's one thing. What else do you got?
Yeah, I mean, even just practically for training for ministers, pastors, chaplains, vocation, missionaries, I think about For the Church Institute, just free resources that these top-notch elite professors, such as from Midwestern Seminary mm-hmm. In Kansas City, are making available because they love the church and they're for the church. I think about Lifeway. They're mm-hmm. providing these ministry grid, helping specifically, for my case, church planters, free resources freely that you can create a pipeline for training mm-hmm. that makes it easy to access rather than a physical copy of a digital resources. I think about the Gospel Project. A lot of that stuff used to be more hard copy. Now it's digitally available. Mm-hmm. And I think there was just even a revolutionary, just even the last 5-10 years, just those are practical things. I think about ministry safe training, just awareness of sexual abuse that happens even in ministry and how to prevent and see those predators that are out there. Praise be to God, we have these resources and certification that we get to have that makes it available and equip and train and disciple and mature leaders mm-hmm. for the sake of King Jesus and the kingdom of God.
Amen. It also... Also, cooperation is more possible through the technology. You made me think whenever you said for the Church Institute, because I think Austin Stone, Craig Groeschel's church, is that Life Church, mm-hmm. I believe so, or even the YouVersion Bible. Like, these churches are putting out some really cool resources across denominations, putting out some really cool resources that we can use and that they offer for free. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's wonderful. That builds the kingdom. That's cooperative work between different churches. And it's not possible for our line of work. I work on Sunday mornings. It's not possible for me to be usually in someone else's congregation. Right. But I can go back and watch what they've done, or I can connect with them and I can say, that was a good word, brother, and things like that. So cooperation, huge. And we can do that because of technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got another one for you. How about social media? What have you seen happen with social media and technology?
So for me, coming from the country, Japan, mm-hmm. and prior to coming to the States, I was in Malaysia. Goodness, it makes the world much more accessible. There's people that I would really not be in touch. I mean, I even remember, goodness gracious, 15, 20 years ago, we needed to buy a card in order to call people.
Yeah.
And it was like $50 on it, and then you had to put the number in and call. And now people think I'm a dinosaur, but I mean, nobody would think that today. You would automatically go on a FaceTime, or you would Zoom people, and you work out the time difference. I'm really thankful I get to have access. My children get to talk to grandma and stuff like that. So social media, just so much communication that happens even just on Facebook Messenger because the world has been, the globalization and also the digital world that we live in. I'm personally very thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah. On Sunday, in my message, this is ironically part of my message, but I'm going to bring up the fact that there's some different groups that we have now. We have seekers. Right. And seekers are the ones that are coming with questions and they're showing up. We've got the saints who are being edified through the work of the Holy Spirit. And now we've got streamers. So now we've got seekers, saints, and streamers that are joining us. And the streamers, you know, they might just be sitting on their church, sitting on their computer on a Sunday morning, and a little thing pops up and they just click and listen into some church. They may not even be looking for a church, but there's a window for them. And sometimes if you can look in a window, you might walk through a door. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I like that. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One more that I want to bring up that's good. The way that giving has been just transformed through technology, right? So now there's a ton of different giving platforms, and people can just give so much easier. In fact, most people don't even carry cash on them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about your church, or I don't know about your church for those that are listening. I know that the lowest number that comes in as far as the giving on a Sunday for us is the cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still quite a few checks, mm-hmm. although those are dwindling. And then there's stuff online. People just give online because it's easier. And with ease can make things a little bit better. Can also make things worse, but, you know, lots of good stuff there. Let's toss another question at you, huh? What do you think are some of the best practices for us so that we can sort of maintain a balance of using technology, but also we want our community to be authentic, right? You don't want to manifest community. You can't. So what are some things we should be thinking about?
Yeah. So this is like the positive and negative, right? So if you would, I'll start with the negative. It just creates this reality that you're there, but you're not there. Does it make sense? Jesus wasn't on Mars and he just kind of streamed something. I mean, he came on Earth,
okay.
Incarnation ministry, right? So that we can give a word and a look and a touch. I think you touched that. It's the word authenticity.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful it's not the means, let's say, to streaming.
The streaming side of
things, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a means to reach people, such as people who are they're hospice or they're in a critical condition because they were they were in an accident and mm-hmm. they are not able to join us, but they are so thankful. They want to give to the church.
Yeah.
Like, those are awesome opportunities, but we shouldn't make an excuse that say, well, I'm part of the church, but I'm just kind of streaming in. So that's a part that I think we need to caution a little, but I don't think we need to, you know, if you would, the old adage, just throw the baby with the bathwater kind of deal.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying. And some people might be listening and they have the same fear. The fear is that the streaming side would become church to people, to healthy bodied, able people who just prefer to wear pajamas and sit on their couch.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not the same. It's another opportunity for the gospel, but God is giving us this place and a people to build up. I do, however, enjoy when someone tells me, hey, we were on vacation at Disney or whatever, and we were able to tune in, and that's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely.
You know, and some people feel like they have to be at a church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like there's a legalism to that. And for them to be able to say, I was able to take a breath because we went on vacation, but we got to worship and that made me feel good. I like that quite a bit.
I think about like snow day as well. Some of our maybe seasoned saints who are here, and they will come no matter what. And it gives them assurance that you're not less of a person because you come to church. It's grace, right? Grace tells us there's nothing we can do to make Jesus love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make Jesus love us less. In some sense, the legalism comes in, right? Saying that, well, if I go to church, God loves me more. No, well, like major snow day, and there's no way we could get the parking lot ready and the salt and everything. It's quite frankly dangerous out there.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments when people can join in the live stream and watch and be edified through that, praise be to God.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Another concern that we might want to think about if we're trying to utilize technology is just being aware there's like a technological divide.
Mm.
And yeah, it's generational. There is some, you know, just earlier today, I was giving out some contact information, and it was with an older member of my church, and I was okay to give that out, by the way, but I'm giving it out, and I just kind of laughed, and I said, and don't even ask me for an email. They do not use a computer. You know, well, there's that side to things, too, and so as a pastor, I need to be aware of that, you know, because there's even been some churches that have said, well, let's just get rid of, let's make giving only online. well, you're cutting out a part of your congregation that I hope you have,
mm-hmm.
who still likes to write a checkbook, still likes to make a physical thing, you know. Or how about the scriptures, right? I still love the sound of the Bible, the pages turning in a Bible. Jonathan, you preached here last Sunday at Remix, and you made everybody laugh when you said that you sometimes look out and see the glow of people's of the people's faces in their phones, right, as they're on their eyeballs, basically. but no, having a Bible, I think, is very, very valuable. So yeah.
Yeah, for me too. I don't know. I'm old school. I still read a bunch of books,
yeah.
and I like the feeling of books and highlighting it. And people say you can do that on like a Kindle or iPad.
Right.
And yeah, there's a benefit. Like if there's a fire that happens in the office, all our books are gone. Like it's gone.
Paper burns pretty good.
It does burn pretty good. However, though, for me, there's something about, okay, I know it was like page 200 on this side of this book. I can find it pretty easily and reference it. So even that, like Kindle or ebooks and stuff like that, I joke when I preach too, just say, I kind of like an old school manual, like a study Bible, because it doesn't run out of juice. It doesn't go glitching.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a reality as well. To just kind of think through, just a divide, you said.
Yeah. And I actually still do that. We know that technology can glitch. It can. And so whenever I lead music, I still have a physical copy. I do it off of my iPad, mm-hmm. and then I have a physical copy tucked underneath. Because I always worry, and it has happened. One day I'm going to turn a page on my digital copy and it's going to glitch. I'm like, oh no. Yep, there's all that too. Do you think, I just want to get out there. We started the conversation talking about augmented reality and things. Do you think augmented reality is going to have a stronger place in church? I know there's already online churches.
Mm-hmm.
There's already people using that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, man?
You know, we haven't really talked about scripture at this point, but we know Hebrews 10:25 to mm-hmm. not neglect the assembly of believers.
Yeah.
Oh, this is hard. I mean, in what I do with counseling, recovery in the drug rehab facility, mm-hmm. it's tendency of people who are drinking or drugging, they like two things, isolation and separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous, because I do think that's Satan's tactic to do that. And if we are not careful, please hear me. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. It's more like, is it wise or foolish kind of category. Okay. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's in the same category as digital. It's mm-hmm. not right or wrong. Sometimes Christians automatically think it's right or wrong. Media is right, media is wrong. No, I think it's media. Is it wise or is it being foolish?
Mm.
And that's the same category I believe we need to think on this category. So it is going to be more reality. It's just evident. I'm sure we live in this 2024 right now. It's going to be more reality where the digital, I mean, higher education. You and I serve on trustees. You're at Gateway. I'm serving at Midwestern. Right. The school enrollment. They're going for not the actual student body these days anymore. They're going for those who are signed up, who have a job and they have a master's, and sometimes they want to be in class, but it's evening class and it's just hard. So even just that area, higher education is thinking differently how they're going to operate. Yeah. Just not even churches. So churches need to be caught up on this to think through it, or we'll be behind.
Well, that's good. And that's a good point too, with the seminaries and things. Used to, it was our population was who was on campus,
mm.
right? But now the population is spread out across the world because we're doing classes online.
Mm-hmm.
I know at Gateway there's three different types of classes. There is the ones that are in person, but there's also another type of in person, and that's you're sitting at home, but you're actually in person. You're doing the class live from your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, of course, the online ones that are sort of pre-done. Yeah. So there's some good to that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes things cheaper, you know, cause I couldn't afford to fly out and
that's how they did it back then. Like about 15 years ago, they would fly professors to extension schools.
Right.
And they would do intensive education, but that seems like of the past. And now this is the new reality. So So I don't know if I'm answering your question, Brandon, but there needs to be a more not running away. I think that's what we've done, even looking at history of a church. Fundamentalism, when just liberalism was rising and there was a sense of like a social gospel movement that was going on, that's where evangelicals came out and said we can be faithfully theologically, but also faithfully practically as well. And that's euangelion, which is the Greek word, the people of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more so, even in this digital platform, we need to be faithful in identifying and reaching whatever it takes.
That's good. As we think about sort of the augmented reality side too, and anything with technology, I just think we also have to just ask, like, what's the purpose, right? I knew of someone who started an online church, and some of the reasons, you know, of their purpose was because it's cheap and, you know, there's no overhead. And those are not good purposes to start a church. You know, are you trying to reach people with the gospel, you know? And how do you take communion? How do you do these different? So what's the purpose of that? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of the augmented reality worship? What's the purpose? You need to consider that.
Yeah, you have to ask some hard questions. I remember I was in a men's Bible study, and we were studying this book. It's one of my favorite books still. It's Master Plan Evangelism. By Robert Coleman. And one of the questions, they said, why can't we just give it to these radio programs? And they were broadcast around the world. So I really don't have to go make disciples. I don't really have to go preach the gospel. Really? Well, let's go a little deeper. Again, with the augmented reality or AIs and so forth, like, why do we do what we do? And it's a great commission. It says, therefore, go make disciples. Is that somebody else's job or the radio program? Or is it our task and our job to do? And that's just even beyond pastor, minister, leaders, or elders. That's just being a disciple of Jesus. And and we need to think always, how can we turn our everyday conversation into gospel conversation? And it's really hard to do that via social media. I'm not saying it can't happen, but again, I believe God intended this, just in person, in reality. And just like you're listening to our podcast right here and being made available. But why do we do what we do? The purpose. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Yeah. And we also just need to be careful that that the technology doesn't become an idol in itself. And it can, you know, and you and I experienced this quite a bit. You know, we've told the story of how you and I met, how you and I were part of a worship cohort. And I've noticed, especially with like these worship guys, we get together and all they want to talk about is the next pedal, the next, you know, the next technology. And you and I were like, can we like talk about some Bible, some scripture? And I know we were moved by that. I think we clicked because of that. We can't let technology become an idol to us, right? You can't look at your iPad so closely that you lose sight of Jesus. So keep that in your back pocket. Anyway. Yeah.
And I think my mentor told me one time, you know, Jonathan, with spiritual things, you need to think systematically. In systems, you got to think spiritually. And so often, which one gets more focus, I believe, coming, just kind of echoing what you said, is systems, strategies, even leadership. Or think about some of, that's where we have a missional drift, right? I was just reminded, Harvard started out as elite mothership of training future pastors. And they had a missional drift and the spiritual things went aside and just became more, I'm not disregarding Harvard, but it's just interesting over time where that could easily happen. And that's what I'm afraid as well with the digital reality. And again, I'm thankful for all churches, their brothers and sisters in Christ, but there's some churches, it seems like more the mega churches, becomes more about, you know, they would say, use a certain movie as a theme, or they were talk about a TV show and talk about Jesus a little. No, what we need is God's word. What we need is the gospel. What we need is Jesus. And let's not miss that. And we can still utilize, it's not everything or nothing. I think we can find a sweet middle ground, but always focusing the purpose. It's the glory of God, it's the gospel, and it's the grace of God.
Man, I love it. That's all really good. Couple more questions that I have in my heart. as churches adopt new technologies, what steps then should we take to safeguard ourselves, but also remain adaptable to the trends that are coming? You know what I'm saying? Because there are going to be emerging opportunities. The digital landscape is going to continue to grow. And like you said, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So maybe that's something we should think about.
Yeah. I'm just careful for anything, just when people go on the bandwagon and just say, hey, this is the latest, coolest thing. Well, I would say, let's give it time. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at church history, that's kind of reality, isn't it? Just the ecumenical councils and some of the things that came up. I mean, and history would teach us a lesson. So there's nothing really under the sun, as Ecclesiastes would say. But there is some reality that we're living in. There is the reality of the political realm of our country is at. I think about just gender confusion and same-sex attraction. We need to biblically think through that. We got to think about the hashtag Me Too movement, or where women who are creating an image of God have been taken advantage. How can we care well for people and counsel people well and love them as God has intended in the garden? And I would say there's the digital side of it that that we need to think through carefully and biblically. And I just think people are quick to jump in. And I know that's an easy kind of 30,000 foot view approach, but I just think anything, we just need time. I think just seeing a quick answer and not grounded in truth, I just think that's where we get in trouble. So I think time is our friend.
So you're saying one, you don't have to be the earliest adopter of something.
Exactly.
You don't, you know, and being the church that is the first to do it in your area doesn't mean you're the most Jesus-like church. Yeah, someone reminded me, whenever I was planting a church, he just said, hey, Brandon, how did Jesus go everywhere? And I thought about it, and I was like, he walked? And he's like, yeah, and you should take your time too. And it's just a good word.
Like, I love that.
Jesus just took his time. So that's a good thing. Another area that you'll need to think about as a church, and I think every church is going to have to think about this one. We said this: does the end justify the means?
Good.
Right? You know, we started off by talking about that artificial intelligence sort of church that the preacher was artificial and everything. And if someone came to Christ through that, does the end justify the means? And I think that's something that you and your staff have to talk about. I don't know that there's a right answer on that one. But you have to be morally grounded in the Word of God with whatever you decide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one I would say for sure.
Yeah, it's just we need to really think through again. I mean, there's all sorts with the AI reality my brother's a professor. He teaches up in Minneapolis at Bethel Seminary, and there are these AI-generated doctrinal theses.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
Or books that are being published by AIs, and they're saying, we call them ghostwriters. And we need to think through, like, is this legitimate, sincere authenticity, right? Genuineness of the voice of the person, and is there conviction, and is there the courage of the person? And a lot of times, what I'm concerned is that AI doesn't match the humanness of it. Does it make sense? And that's what makes it so different, I believe, like Jesus or the Christian or the life. And people are desperately in need and moving and longing for that. And that can be only, I believe, offered where the beauty of the local church is at, right? And sure, people have been through church hurt. There's a podcast we did that way back. But my goodness, there's nothing as beautiful as a church, but there's nothing as hurtful to church, but there's nothing as opportunity for healing and longing and comfort that we get to find in the good news of the gospel through the people of God.
Yeah. A couple other questions within this idea of, you know, remaining adaptable, but also taking care when it comes to technology. I just want to ask you in your church with you specifically, Jonathan, but also people that are listening. And actually, I'll back it up to a story. Last winter, we came to church and our power was out and nothing was going to come back on. And so if the lights are gone and the mics are gone and everything, do you still have church? Do you still have the ability to worship and to preach, right? Because I think if you get to the point and you're thrive for technology where you're like, look, if we don't have that, we don't have church anymore. That's a problem, right? The first century church had none of this. And we should still drive to try to be like the first century church, just dressed a little different, just in a different, you know, that's my two cents anyway on that.
Yeah. I remember just working a different size of church. And one time we had this moving lights and we had the environmental projection on the walls. We had three split screens. We were using live stream software. We're using the Pro Presenter, and then a lightning strike and it went all out.
Yeah.
And I felt the pressure that I need to do something to make church work. And I think it dawned on me at that point. I was like, what is church?
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful as you put it, Brandon, just will we still be the church what Jesus intended? And this is, again, maybe another conversation to have, the doctrine of ecclesiology, the doctrine of the local church, and how unique that is, and what makes keep the main thing, right? And thankful for AVL, audio visual lighting, and all these things that we do to make things happen. But at the same time, could we still be what Jesus intended, the bride that God so loved that he sent his son Jesus to die, to purchase and redeem.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to keep that focus on whether we have it or not, like you talked about that that incident.
Yeah, I also think, like, in the same vein, we should take care not to use technology to try to make Jesus more attractive.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like some people have got that to that spot. Jesus and the gospel is beautiful in and of itself. And if you're trying to use technology to make Jesus more beautiful or the gospel better, not only is that not possible, you're standing in the way of the true Jesus and the true gospel. So I say just take care not to do those things. And I'm not saying don't have your Easter service with a video or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. But technology can't be what we're worshiping. It has to remain Jesus.
Yeah. I'm going to just kind of close it with this one. But Jared Wilson, he's one of the professors, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He said this: someone will always have a better coffee, better music, better facilities, better speaking, better marketing. Showcase Christ and his gospel. Nobody can improve that.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're saying. Well, we really hope that you've enjoyed this conversation. In fact, I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's one that I know you're going to be having with your staffs. And if you're a leader in a local church, you're going to be talking to others in the church. And I don't know that we have all the answers, but we have the Word of God, and that's enough. Let's make sure we dive into the Word of God before we dive into the next tech project.
Boom, boom, boom. Hey, just real quick, if you really enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and share with your friends via social media, as we talked about social media and technology. Give us a 5-star review. Those are very much appreciated. And yeah, hope you have a blessed week. And let's give them Jesus. Ciao.